Our Bible readings this morning. The first one comes from Hebrews chapter 12 and the first three verses. It should be up on the screen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And our second reading is from Philippians chapter 3 and from 7 to 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And this is the passage that John will be preaching on from verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Rob. Let's pray for just a moment. We'll still our hearts and come to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, please speak to us powerfully. Please speak to us personally through the word that was read and will now be preached. For Jesus' sake, amen. Dear church family, my family, guests and visitors, the Olympics were just a few weeks ago, and even if you aren't a person who's particularly interested in sport, I guess we all know that if you want to get to the Olympics, you've got to be good. And when you're on the track and you're about to launch into a race, you've got one thing in mind. You are going to go for it. You want the gold. That's why you're there. That's why all the sacrifices, that's why all the hard work and training you've put in over those years. Now, in our passage, the Apostle Paul is using that idea because in the first century Roman world, they had the Olympics then. He uses that idea of a runner in a race, an athlete on the track, and he pictures himself that way. But he uses it to tell us something much more important than the Olympics. He's telling us about another race. It's called the grace race. This is not a race you get into by being an elite athlete. It's not just for those who are qualified, and you don't get into that race by beating others. Quite the opposite. It's there for all whom God in his mercy grants faith in Christ. And the beautiful thing about this race is that everyone, absolutely everyone who gets in this race will get the gold. And the gold is to be in heaven with Jesus and to be later with him in the new world that he will bring in. And that's why Paul wants to finish well. He doesn't want to just drop his bundle, throw in the towel before the finish line. He doesn't want to just limp down the last 50 metres and collapse over the finish line. He wants to sprint to the finish with his eyes on the goal. And the only way that will happen, the only way it will happen for him to finish well, is if he presses on. They're the two words for this morning's sermon, which I'd love for you to take with you when you leave. Twice they come up in our text. And to help us with that, I'd like you to picture yourself as a runner in that race. We're going to start on the starting blocks, because that's where the race starts. We're going to follow you onto the track, and we're going to see you cross the finish line, and that's where we're going this morning. So let's start with the finish line. No, we won't start with the finish line. I got that one badly wrong. We're going to start at the start, on the blocks, and we're going to ask the question, how do you actually get into the grace race? How does anyone ever become a Christian? Well, let's have a look at that. Let's see what Paul says. Paul says here, I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And those words took hold, the translation's a little tame. If you've got a little kid and they're about to run across the street and there's a bus coming, you don't just stand there. You grab them, you grasp them, you seize them. And that's what this word is. Jesus Christ seized Paul. He physically, literally did that on the road to Damascus. He stopped him in his tracks. He turned his life around. He changed his heart. And the man who had persecuted the church terribly became the greatest missionary the church has ever seen in all of its history. Paul knew that. It was an unforgettable time in his life and in the days that followed as Jesus worked in him to bring him to living faith, taking him out of the darkness and into the light of his love. He could point to the day, to the time, how events unfolded. I can't. That's not how Jesus worked on me or Rolanda. It was different. Gentler, you might say, over a much longer period of time, being taught, hearing sermons and all of that stuff, and finally the penny dropped. But whether it's like that or like Paul, in the end, that's not the point. The point is Jesus must be at work. And if he hadn't been at work, I would never be in the grace race, and nor would you. And that's the point. We don't earn this privilege. We never deserve this privilege. But Jesus Christ gives it to us at huge cost to himself. He takes us, one way or the other, he gets us at the start, and he puts us on the blocks. So here's the question. Have you been there? Can you see yourself there even now? Because it's so, so important. Because if you're not on the blocks, you're not in the race. And if you're not in the race, you're not going to cross that finish line. And if you don't cross that finish line, you're not going to be with Jesus in heaven, in this life or the next. But let's move on. A runner doesn't just roll up in an Olympic heat and have a go. He's got a race plan. His coach has been teaching him for years and he's been working on this. This is how we're going to do it. What's the race plan, dear friends? Paul lays it out here, and it's like a coin. It has two sides and they both fit together and you can't separate them, but there are two clear sides. And the first is the negative. He has to forget something. Paul says, the one thing I want to do is I want to forget. He writes, forgetting what is behind. Now, it's not always a good idea to forget, is it? If you forget your anniversary, or forget to pick up the kids, or forget an assignment that needs to be handed in, you've got a problem. But this is not a problem. Paul wants this. So what's he getting at? What does he want to forget? Could it be that he used to persecute the church? Could it be that he was a proud Pharisee and he gloried in his heritage? Well, he doesn't tell us. We don't actually know. But one thing we do know, when Paul says here, "I want to forget," he hasn't wiped them from his memory bank. In the verses before our passage, he's been talking about them. So it's not that. When he says forget, what he means is, I don't want these things to be my focus now. They used to be, but not now. I don't want them to set the agenda, because if they do, they can trip me up. And they do, don't they? Friends, Rob's already prayed in his prayer about some things I guess we'd all like to forget. Who of us here this morning? Let me put it this way. Haven't we all made bad decisions? Haven't we all made poor choices? And haven't we all said things, done things that we wish we never had? I'll put my hand up for that one. Paul Tripp has this beautiful line, and he says, it's a simple fact of nature that once the leaves are off the tree, you can't put them back. And friends, I want to ask, what are the leaves on the tree of your life that have fallen off and now you can't put them back? Are you one of those people who live with regret for those poor choices? Or perhaps are paralyzed by your past? Or perhaps there are those if only I had, if only I hadn't. And those things are over you like a dark cloud, and you go to bed with it, and you wake up, and it dogs your steps like a shadow. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, you can be set free from all of that. You don't have to be paralyzed by your past. You don't have to live with regret in spite of the things that have been done and that you may have to live with the consequences of. All of that, the shame, the guilt, the rest of it can all be washed away. It can all be covered by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, let the grace of God do that, because that's what the grace race is all about. Taking broken people and working to make them whole again and renew them to be the people God wants them to be. That's the negative. There's stuff we need to forget and put behind us so we don't focus on it. But then there's the positive. What's the other side of the coin? Well, I want you to picture the runner here. He's on the track. He's going for the gold. He's widening his stride. He's working hard. He's sprinting. And this is how Paul puts it. He's straining toward what is ahead. And my guess is, if you've played sports or done athletics, you know what this feels like. Your legs are burning. Your heart is bursting. You're panting for breath. It hurts sometimes when you're straining. And if we just stop there for a moment, let me ask a question. As you put yourself in that picture on the track, are you straining toward what is ahead? Or has the pace dropped off a little, or perhaps a lot? Could it be, friends, that you might be distracted You find it so easy to spend time on social media, but so very hard to spend time in the Word and in deep, earnest prayer. Or perhaps it's a passion you have, a sport you love, a cause you've given time and energy to. Not bad in itself, but what you are finding is that it's actually weakening your walk with Christ. Could you be distracted? And your pace has slackened off. Perhaps you're carrying some baggage. It might be a secret sin. It might be an addiction. It might be, as God said to Cain after he killed his brother, and we find it in Genesis 4, you find so much that sin is crouching at the door. You are battling things like pride and jealousy and a sharp tongue and bad language and lust. And Rob has mentioned some more in his prayer, and you find you don't want to, but they're there, crouching at the door, and they are waiting to pounce. Could it be that you're carrying some baggage? Or maybe you're just weary. You've got a young family. You've started up a business. It's something else, and you're just bone tired. Or could it be that you're losing heart? It's a hard season. Life is messy. It's complicated. Family's a struggle. And at times you doubt His goodness or God's goodness and love and good plan. I had that a couple of weeks ago. Friends, it may be different. You may, as so many of us here, struggle with old age. And I mean old age. And you know how, you know, we make jokes about being old. But friends, it's not an easy journey, and it's not for wimps, and we all know that. And many of you are sick or sad or lonely. And sometimes we wonder whether it's all worth it. Don't we all need help here? What can help us to be on the track, straining forward? Well, we have to follow our passage through, and we'll see what can help us is to keep our eyes on the finish line. And Paul writes about it here. Again, our words, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, or literally that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the prize? Well, he's been telling us in the verses, and that's why I asked the previous verses to be read. He wants to know Christ deeply, personally, intimately. He wants to be like Christ, much more than he is. And finally, he wants to be with Christ in glory. That's the prize. And here we see the wonder of the gospel, because it's saying to all of you, the bruised and the broken, the weary and the wandering, and those who are strong in faith and things are great, it's saying to all of you that the time will come when the challenges of this life and the hardships you're working through now will pass away. Because you've been on the starting blocks, and the Lord in His mercy has got you in the race, and He's kept you going, and He's going to get you across that finish line, and He will wrap His arms around you, and He will give you the prize. That's the beauty of this wonderful passage. How can I be so sure? Because Jesus has run the race before us. He has blazed the trail before us. And now He says, come, come and follow me. and for him the race was much harder than what any of us ever will run. Do you remember what Hebrews 12 said? These verses which for years and years and years I have held close to my heart. That he endured the cross. In the words of our creed, he was crucified, dead and buried, having suffered the torments of hell. But, didn't have the last word, did it? He rose from the dead and he sits at God's right hand. And Jesus, who has blazed that trail, who has run his race, who has crossed the finish line and gone to be in glory with his Father and received his prize, the inheritance of the nations, the Riverbank Christian Church, that Jesus is calling you to follow him now. And he's saying to you, press on. He wants you to finish well. And friends, I want to echo his words. Press on. Forget what's behind. Strive towards what's ahead. Press on. Fix the eyes of your faith on him. Never, ever let him out of your sight. Press on in the joy of the Lord. Press on in the power of his Holy Spirit. Always, only, ever press on. And as you do, encourage one another with these things. And may God bless you richly. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, darling? We'll talk about that later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace is so free and generous, and we thank you that even though we turn away, we are weak and sometimes weary, you welcome us, you forgive us, and you give us grace and mercy to help us press on and strain forward for the goal that awaits. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you have done, what you have gotten for us at such huge cost to yourself. We thank you that you pressed on. You never wilted. You never wandered. You never faltered. And you have won the prize so that we ourselves could receive that from you. And we love you and worship you. And dear Holy Spirit, hold fast to us. Melt our hearts with the love that Christ has shown us on the cross. And fill our minds with its truth. Please hold us up when we fall. Please show us truth so that we don't follow after lies. Please give us faith so that we don't live in a barren wilderness of our own thinking. All that we have and are belongs to you, and we offer ourselves to you now, promptly, sincerely. Father, rest your hand of blessing on this congregation in time to come. Take her forward to grow in faith, in godliness, in prayerfulness, in numbers. Take her forward, always, ever, fixing their eyes on Jesus, that they may finish well for his sake. Amen.